Welcome to the A-Dub Club, a podcast about sci-fi, fantasy, technology, pop culture, the internet, and general nerdery. There are three things that are important to know. One, we occasionally use swear words, but try to stay in the range of PG-13, or at least the kind of R that cool parents are fine with. Two, we may talk spoilers. In this particular episode, we discuss how we're dealing with a global coronavirus pandemic for the fourth time. Also, heads up, we recorded this on October 10th, 2021, so almost two full months ago, so be warned. And finally, three, most importantly, it's unclear what the top grossing Broadway show of 2021 to date is, but overall, Broadway has managed to rake in $231 million as of recording. Now, with that out of the way, welcome to the clubhouse. We have snacks. Welcome to the A-Dub Club. I'm Andrew Whipple.
I'm Alex Wade.
And let's get right into it, because I think I made this joke the last time, but the thing that I would say right now is, in fact, the question of the episode, because that's right, it's number four of these, I think, over the last 2 years.
Four? Wow.
Where the question is, hey, Alex Wade, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, I think. Life's coming around. I just finished up an interesting class that's like it's called The Path. From one-on-one, highly recommend it.
Sounds like a cult just on the title alone, but continue.
Yeah. It's like a how to plan your next year or your path, so to speak. And I've always like shied away from general self-help books or like stuff, things that are like positivity or stuff like this, but I've been trying to buy into it a lot more lately, and the class was fantastic and very much felt like how to in the terms of the pandemic, it feels like things are almost done, weirdly.
Oh,
and this
okay.
class is like how to take advantage of that, kind of, you know, like how to set yourself up for success for the next year.
Great. Pin in that. We're going to get back to that. Things are almost done later in the episode. Interesting. So what kind of stuff was happening in class?
I mean, it's geared towards actors specifically, but really it's kind of just general. So you have like your yearly goal, basically, or goals, like where you want to be in a year. And then you like try to set up for every month, like what milestones you're going to hit. And then it's like you go down into the deeper, boggier details of like how to plan out your week and like, oh, you need accountability partners. Mm-hmm. Oh, you have to get in the right mentality. So like there's a bit of stuff like, oh, here's your inner critic. And, you know, sometimes they say mean things. But also I legitimately believe in what she was saying and talking about it around like – you know, you have to understand what is useful thinking and what is not useful thinking. So I've started taking that, or the class I just finished. And it's like, since I've started to actually like schedule things in like, here's when I'm gonna go for a workout, or like, here's when I'm gonna invite people to this new server that I've made or something. It feels like I'm accomplishing a lot more, both for the sake of like, hey, I'm actually putting things on my schedule, but also, hey, here are the things that I have completed. It's nice to be able to point at, you know?
Interesting. I can see that. I can see that. A sense of like tangible accomplishment.
Yeah. That's
nice. Nice, nice, nice.
How about you? How are you doing?
Good. Weirdly. Weird good. Oh, also, for context, I guess. No one listens to this. And if anyone does listen to this, you probably already know this. But said before, this is the fourth in our series of How You Doing episodes that we started the first week of the pandemic back in 2020 in March, when we thought it was going to be a nice little couple month at worst sojourn. And then we've been doing them about every 6 months since then. And so we're probably going to reference a lot of stuff that we talk about on those other episodes, because it's a nice reference point. Also, it's our lives. So we're just going to be talking about our lives for this whole thing. But if you want to check those out, Armchair Epidemiologist, Shame Memes, and Cocoon Time, I think are the names of the three of them.
Cocoon Time, that's a great title.
Something like that.
Also, for posterity, I think that's the right word to use, it is October 10th.
Yes, that's incredibly important, because a key thing that happened in the last episode and has been happening in all of the episodes that we've done over at least this latter half of 2021 is that I'm taking fucking forever to edit them. We have one in the can that I have not edited yet that is about a month old that I need to get out. So this will certainly not come out probably anytime before November. No. And who knows when it'll actually come out.
Yeah.
So yes, October 10th. Use that to date stamp whether or not you should be mad at what we're saying about the pandemic or current events.
Yes.
But I'm doing well. And the reason why I say that I'm doing weirdly well is that there's kind of like two primary distinct elements of my life, one of which is incredibly, incredibly good, like as good as anything has been in years. And then the other part is like, no, thank you. I'm not a big fan. And so it's sort of coming together into an overall good feeling, but a good feeling with some middleness.
And those two things, which I'm sure you'll be bleeping out when I say them, are your relationship and work.
Hey, got it in one, baby. We don't need to bleep them out, both because you just had a lovely it was a lovely way of proving that you're a friend who pays attention to all the conversations that we have when we're not on mic. And also because generally those are kind of the two big things that I want to talk about this episode. So basically the 10,000 foot view is that got into a relationship about 2 months ago, which is a lovely relationship, long distance, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm not going to go too into detail, at least on mic or on recorded parts of the mic, but with actually a friend and ex of mine from college, which is a fun little bit of synchronicity that we can potentially go into at some point. So that's the good part. That's the part that's incredibly, incredibly fulfilling and exciting and really fun. And she's great, and yay, I'll just be very sappy on mic right now. And then my job kind of sucks and I don't like it.
Well, that's not fun.
So yeah, that's the 10,000 foot view.
So I guess how pandemic-y have these things been? How influenced by the pandemic would you say those two things are?
Interesting. That's a good question. On the work front, on the work front, I think it's relatively easy because it's similar to a lot of the stuff that we talked about last time, where last time that we recorded, I was a couple months into a new job after having been at my previous company for about 5 years. And now, still at that same company that was new 6 months ago, but have, been there for much longer. And so the similar vibes that I was saying around feeling weird about working remotely and feeling weird about like, how is that congealing into an office culture, especially as someone where the culture is really important for my feeling and understanding of like the work that I'm doing, arguably more so than the work itself. Basically all of that still holds just as true as it did back then. I think the only major differences is I have gone into the office two or three times, mostly for like big events, or when there's a bunch of other people that are in town and stuff like that, which has been really nice and been really beneficial. But yeah, the pandemic of it all is mostly that working remotely is still kind of weird. Although I do think it is less of a weirdness than, or it is a smaller contributor to the overall weirdness that I feel around work than it was at the beginning. In particular, where at the beginning, the challenge was like starting a job remotely is really, really hard versus being 9 months into a job remotely is more of an equilibrium. And it's more, there's other stuff that I'm annoyed about as opposed to the fact that I am doing everything over Slack and Zoom.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's certainly been interesting for me of just work of like, I have yet to step foot in my office and I think I'm supposed to. I'm pretty sure last time I talked to my boss about it, like 2 or 3 weeks ago, is I'm supposed to come in averaging out 2 days a week like every month is the rule of thumb apparently, but I don't know when that's supposed to start happening or if that is something that should already be happening. Like, I'm pretty sure the office is open and I just need to like get my security clearance or my like vaccine clearance or something, but I haven't stepped foot in there. And like, no one is exactly telling me that I have to be in there yet. Cause my entire team is abroad, in Canada.
Okay.
So like none of them are going to be calling me out on anything.
Yeah.
My boss's boss, I don't know if he would call me out on something.
Yeah, for us, the original plan was that Labor Day through the end of the year would be the let's test out what our hybrid work plan is going to be, and then it would become official at the start of next year. Now they've pushed that fully back to like, no, you can keep being fully remote no matter what until end of the year. And then, I think it's it's unclear what the overall eventual policy will be. And in particular, similar point to yours is that like we have some remote workers or people who are going to be permanently remote because they're in city. We hired them and they live in cities that we don't have offices. So cool. Most of the product team I am a part of is all in Chicago, but most of our engineers aren't. And so it's definitely something where the utility of being in the office is going to be questionable, especially if there's any expectation of doing it more than on occasion and on days where our entire team decides to all be in the office together.
Yeah.
But I think the real thing is the benefit of working for basically the second in command for product underneath our head of product is like she just interviewed our team and was like, hey, what do you guys want to do? And was basically like, yeah, whatever you guys want to do, we'll be able to do it. Like, who cares?
Even if
we're not officially abiding by whatever the policy is, she was like, whatever works for our team is what we'll do.
Yeah, that was upsetting for me. If I had talked to my boss at first and he was like, oh yeah, you can totally, like, you don't have to come to the office at all because you're in New York and everyone else is in Canada. And then we had a one-on-one for whatever reason a couple of weeks later. It's like, yeah, I got it from on high that people need to come into the office a certain amount of time. And it's like, okay.
Yeah. I have fully turned around, not necessarily on I want to be fully remote, though I'm much more like, I don't know, maybe 50-50 on whether that would be a vibe or not. Yeah. I have fully come around though on the like, yeah, don't fucking mandate that people come into the office two times a week. Like that now to me feels like it's the lazy, we're trying to keep one foot in the past and one foot in the future answer from execs and HR teams more so than anything that has any real benefit to people, especially if you're mandating it.
Yeah. I know my CEO has just been all about wanting to come back to the office. And like, I just don't think they're paying attention to the times right now. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's also part of the thing of this is like, I truly feel like I know pandemic's still going on heavily, but society feels like it's turned back to normal a bit.
Okay.
I have to show my vaccine card and that's about it. Like I wear masks. And like I will be continue wearing masks, but besides these like very superficial things, like things feel like they're at their almost conclusion in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm. So the way that you phrase that, the reason why I said earlier, like, let's put a pin in that is because my gut reaction was like, are you kidding? It feels like we're still in the pandemic and that like it's now I'm in the mode of like, oh my God, this phase of the pandemic is going to be the phase that lasts for a long time kind of thing.
Yeah.
However,
that's what I mean. Kind of is like this right now, this like,
no, exactly. It was like the another way of framing that is that this feels like kind of the equilibrium, at least in urban centers, kind of the equilibrium that will be around for at least the next 6 months, maybe the next year or something like that. Maybe some elements of it are just the equilibrium going forward and things like that, where it's like, to me, I see it as, oh my God, yeah, we're in phase five of the pandemic or whatever, but that phase five is going to last forever. Whereas you're sort of framing it as, yeah, it feels like we've hit whatever is the equilibrium that we're going to go for, which means that like the pandemic as a unique time bound extra special thing may be ending. And now we're just in
society.
A version of whatever normal is going forward.
You know, Broadway's open back up. I went to bars last night. Like I went to a club that is just, you know, very rowdy club, people dancing. Like, I could not point to any differences between that club now and in February of 2020.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I've, gone out to restaurants, gone out to bars, stuff like that. I've, in huge contrast to the me of early in the pandemic, like I went out just for a weekend on a flight to go visit my girlfriend and she is coming out next weekend to visit me for like a quick weekend trip and things like that would have been completely unfathomable a year or 18 months ago.
That is something that I am going to Thanksgiving reunion with my family next month and it's my dad's side of the family and it's always a big thing, but a lot of people aren't going to be going because they are not vaccinated.
Ah, okay.
And like we have some, you know, older people who are very immunocompromised. And so if you can't, if you're not vaccinated, you can't go is kind of the rule in the family, which like I'm glad I'm glad we have the, I don't know if there were any arguments about that because I'm not privy to those family chats, but like, I'm glad that that was a rule that was set that people are following.
Yeah. Update since last Pandemic Shotgun episode, we're both vaccinated.
Yes. Yeah.
Cool. It's great.
That's crazy. Fully vaccinated. Well, so I am fully vaccinated. I got the J&J and I recently.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Oh yeah. From you. What was that for?
Well, aren't they suggesting that like for J&J getting a booster or something like that, or get one of the mRNA shots or something like that?
Really? I did not know that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, what I was talking about is my, so there's an Excelsior New York pass is what the vaccine thing is called. I pull it up and I show it and then I look at it and it says expired. And like, I don't know.
I wonder
what
if
that means.
I wonder if that's the like J&J booster thing or get like an
I don't
MRNA
know.
Thing or whatever. But that's a weird way to phrase it.
Yeah.
Say expired.
I think maybe this, it only lasts like a couple, like the actual pass thing on your phone only lasts a couple of months or something.
Weird.
Yeah. So like, do I need to, I guess I'm going to go and take another picture of my pass. I don't know. But that was a scary moment when I was about to go into a bar and like pulled this up. It's like, hey,
yeah.
What is this? It's like, I have a picture of it. If you want that, like, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I realistically, I could have just waited 3 more weeks and it would have been fine to get in Chicago. But I did the thing, which I think we talked about in the last episode, where Indiana removed their residency requirements about a month before Chicago was opening up to people my age. And so I got my shot in Indiana, which means I'm not in the Illinois. I don't think Illinois has an app or anything like that anyway. But yeah. Either way, I'm not in their Department of Health system. I'm in the Indiana one, which has been totally fine because like everywhere, just if they're checking at all, a photo of the vaccine card is totally fine.
Oh, it's weird to think that like this is we're in the new normal right now. And yet I'm like looking at COVID cases in New York City and they are not good. Like we're at like 2K roughly new cases a day. And there was a point in time when we were almost down to like 100 or 200 during a lot of the summer.
Yeah, same.
I don't know. Part of me is afraid, like, I was going to make a comparison to when we first talked about, like, oh, yeah, this is going to be done in, like, March or something. Now I'm afraid that, like, me saying, oh, this is the new normal, I feel like I'm jinxing it.
How fucking bad is it going to get
come
December?
Yeah, like, why is this even considered a resurgence, like – I don't know. Yeah, I'm afraid it's going to be another thing, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, it seems like this wave in particular is very much like it's the Delta wave that is like the cause of it. It's not in comparison to the other waves, it's not, it's less, people are being lax about stuff. It's there's a new strain that just like really, really fucking infects you a lot, even if there's fewer people available to infect or infect as badly. I don't know. I don't know, man. Or it sounds like sort of you framing it as, hey, if this is the new normal, but also is the new normal right, given that where the cases are at, should we actually be less new normal than we are, is kind of the vibe that I was getting from you.
Yeah.
From my side, the framing was sort of, as you were saying, that was sort of like, oh, well, if this is the new normal, related to our Inside episode, is this the point in time when I should get out of my pandemic habits around how like cloistered and quarantine-y I am in that like, well, if this is just the way that it's going to be now going forward, then now's the time to like break out like a butterfly.
I've been definitely breaking out like for the past couple of months, frankly.
Yeah, you know? I've definitely been more so than during the pandemic, less so than pre-pandemic. And even my peak pre-pandemic was less than your peak.
Sure.
Or my average was less than your average, let's say. So keeping that curve in there, it's like, yeah, I've gone and either with work friends or with other friends. Although, I don't remember if I mentioned this on previous episodes. Everyone fucking moved out of Chicago over the course of the pandemic. And a lot of my friends were work friends, I'm realizing, which is great. But then when you don't work together, it's harder to casually see each other and stuff like that. Though one of my good friends did move back, which is great. And that's very exciting. So I did get to see her a little bit, and we'll be seeing her next weekend, actually. She'll meet my girlfriend. It'll be great.
That's fantastic.
Do you enjoy how much I continue slipping in? Like, hey, guess what? I have a girlfriend now. Hey, guess what? I have a girlfriend. She's cool.
Is she from Canada?
Right? No, that is her joke. Cause she's like, yeah, whenever I'm explaining to friends that, like, oh yeah, I have a boyfriend who lives in Chicago, she's like, it sounds so much like I'm saying, yo, yeah, I totally have a boyfriend, but he just lives in Canada. You just don't know him yet.
Yeah.
Though actually, that is another element of it, is that I feel less of a drive to go out and do stuff all the time in the world where, one, work is exhausting and then I just have work a lot. But then when I'm getting, you know, several hours of socialization via text or via Zoom date nights or whatever,
yeah,
that also helps. Or helps is the right way of phrasing that, I think, in terms of like fitting in with my naturally cloistered tendencies.
That's something for me that like I need to do more of, I think. Just like I don't have those continuous conversations with texts with a lot of people in my life. Like I have, yeah, like I call you occasionally. I have phone calls with people. But then there are some times when it's like I will go an entire day without having talked to anyone, or like those are not healthy for sure.
Oh, 100% same. 100% same recent developments, which interestingly enough, I think the fact that my girlfriend and I are texting like 2 to 3 hours every day has made me better about replying and thinking to text other people. Like I'm noticing that like my text relationships with other friends have also spiked at the same amount of time, or at the same time as, on my phone fucking all day.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Long distances, rough though, I will say.
Pardon me. I'll talk a little bit about my shit. It's less like I am in something and more like feeling conflicted about things. Mm-hmm. I'm hesitant to talk about my problems on a podcast.
Yes.
Even though it's very unlikely she would ever hear about it. But
true.
I'll probably do it anyway, of just like, there is a girl who I've talked to Whipple in the past about, of like, possibly thought about long distance sort of situation. And it's, it's frustrating. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't know much more I want to talk about it than that.
Totally fair. Plenty for me to selectively edit out and then say, hey, I know you don't know me, but listen to what Alex.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Yeah.
That is something I'd like to talk about, of just relationships during the pandemic, of like,
yes.
Definitely over the several, many, many months, most of the year I was at home. Like I had felt, I had kind of thrown in the towel romantically, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, there was just not a lot of effort to be put in. And I don't know how much of that was pandemic related versus living at home with my parents. I mean, even then, after coming back to New York City, like things didn't really start. I didn't really start trying to do anything till like the summertime.
Yeah.
When like was vaccinated, you know?
Yeah. It's weird. I mean, I think in my case, weirdly, the pandemic was not a big determining factor in my general, like, not throwing in the towel, but like being very comfortable in a single and non-pursuant stasis, I guess, is maybe a good way of phrasing it. And I feel like that was sort of equivalently true during the pandemic and pre-pandemic, which I guess scans with the general narrative of the pandemic across these various episodes, where it's like, oh, turns out I'm pretty comfortable with a pandemic-approved lifestyle, and it doesn't really cause much of a emotional change in comparison to a less epidemiologically upsetting world.
Yeah,
and then happens to everyone. You go to a wedding, a girl gives you a bunch of book recommendations. Yeah, you text for a month, and here you are.
And then here you are. Here you are. Mm-hmm. One new thing that's been going on, the theater scene is like definitely coming back. There's been a lot of opening nights of shows recently. I guess just events in general, you know, are back. But like I've been doing a lot of auditions that are for, you know, in-person filmings of things. That has been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool.
Yeah. Have you seen anything?
I saw a play like 2 months ago, but that was in like a tiny black box theater. I haven't seen any like live Broadway theater yet, although I should. There's a girl who I like went on a couple of dates with, like I guess 3 or 4 years ago now, who we still like DM or something on Instagram, but she has been posting about going to the theater like all the time. Like that's her thing. She had seen more theater when I went on a date with her in the 3 months she had been in New York City than I had in like 2 or 3 years.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. She had in 2020, she was trying to see break, I think 100 plays.
Wow. Like, that's live. Cool.
Yeah.
That's insane, and but cool.
She was well on her way to like crush that number, but yeah, theater's coming back up. Oh, everything feels like, yes, there's still like a lot of you taking COVID tests or proof of vaccination, stuff like that. But for the most part, it is like back.
Nice. Yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. I
just got notification for another audition. Anyway,
look at you, Mr. Popular. yeah, I haven't seen anything yet. I'm torn because Chicago Shakespeare Theater has you're doing a production of As You Like It, which is one of my favorite plays. It's really, really good. They're doing it as a jukebox musical set in the 60s featuring songs of the Beatles, which just sounds so bad.
Yeah.
And so I think they do pretty frequently do like $20 tickets and stuff like that for people that are in their 20s. So I'll probably do that and then be upset, but upset that at least I'm seeing a good play done poorly.
Yeah.
That is – in particular, because I think I mostly ended up doing theater through like Today Tix or, you know, discounted youth tickets, or it's places that like are smaller black boxes that do cheaper stuff in general. And I think that's the point at which it'll kind of feel like it's back. Like even if I end up going to a few bigger shows or going to a few one-off shows, I think it's once I'm in the zone of, hey, there's enough stuff going on that people are reliably discounting them, and therefore I'm doing more on a whim theater, is probably the moment to me where I'll feel like, okay, yeah, cool. We're back.
Yeah, I need to go see a play so badly.
Yeah, they're good. They're good. Yeah. Also, ready for Zoom plays to go die. I say that talking to someone who I've seen in several, which were perfectly lovely experiences when you can't get the real thing, but the minute that I can safely see a thing in an actual theater, I'm okay not ever seeing it on Zoom ever again.
Yeah, me too. I finished up directing a Zoom play, as I probably mentioned before, on the cast. And it was great. I love my actors and I love what I did, but you know, it was just not the same. There was half of what it is to be a director is like gone, because you know, there's no blocking. There's no real set. I mean, there was a set that we kind of did, but it's not interesting.
Yeah. Have been going to see movies though. That's been, I mean, not to the degree that I would have pre-pandemic, but like, I don't know, every couple, like 3 weeks or so, go see a movie or something like that.
I think I need to do that more.
Which is nice. I did see the new Bond movie yesterday after... So I started this in 2019 thinking that like, okay, this will be a thing that I do over a course of like 6 months or whatever. I want to watch all the Bond movies in order. And it turns out I don't like a lot of the Bond movies. And so it took me a very long time to get through. And then I realized, like literally a month ago, realized, oh shit, I'm like, I think I had just seen GoldenEye sometime earlier this summer. So I was like, I just have the rest of the Brosnans and the Craigs to go. And then realized,
get to the meat.
Oh shit, the new Bond movie is coming out in a month. I have a month to watch the rest of them. So I did get through. I got most of them last week. I basically did all the Craigs last week.
Gotcha.
Which is great because they're all really good.
Yeah, I think I did that too. I recently watched most of the James, just Daniel Craig.
Yeah, that's mostly all you need. Will say there are some gems in the earlier ones. There's a couple of the Connerys, and I like the Dalton ones actually a fair amount. Don't really like most of the Moore ones, but yeah, it's like, oh, okay, this is a interesting series with some really great movies, and then the Craig movies come along. And it's like, oh, these are all good, and they actually like them. New one is very good. So when it comes to the Craig movies, what are your favorites, and where do you sort of rank the various Craig movies against each other?
I don't know. I'd have to list them out.
Okay. Yeah. I am someone who I like them all.
Yeah.
Didn't super like Skyfall, or in comparison to some of the other ones, really like Spectre. Quantum of Solace is my least favorite of them, but I like it more than most people do. Like, most people think it's a terrible movie, and I think it's a pretty good movie.
I think Casino Royale and Spectre are probably my two favorite.
Hell yeah. Same here.
Maybe in that order. I'm not sure.
I would definitely say in that order. But part of the reason why I was mentioning that is that I really, really loved the new one. I get the sense that, like, if you liked Spectre, you like the new one. If you didn't like Spectre, which apparently a lot of people did, like, that's sort of a polarizing one that a lot of people are like, oh yeah, this one fucking sucks. You probably don't like No Time to Die.
Yeah.
So let that be your probably whenever this gets released, 2 months late film review. One thing that is kind of interesting to me, although it feels weird now that it's been several months into it, but like there is a feeling, particularly with regards to the Delta variant and the Delta variant kind of coming through and fucking things up, that like, I guess at every step of the pandemic, whatever we expect to be the narrative for the next chunk is not it. Because either people fuck up or the virus does something weird. And in this case, it was sort of the like, oh, well, we're just going to get vaccinated. And then as people get more and more people get vaccinated, things start to die off and everything goes back to a total normal. And then like about 2-3 months ago, oh shit, new variant of the virus that is coming in and like dramatically changing at least the case trajectory of the pandemic, even if it hasn't fully changed the reaction and the vibe to it, other than like now mask mandates are back, even if you're vaccinated, is sort of like the real public response change to it. But I don't know. It is weird and kind of it's narratively frustrating more than anything that like, it's not a clean downward slope.
Yeah, it was. It was at so low for a couple of months during the summertime.
But I guess, to that point that we were talking about from earlier around the like, all right, maybe new normal is more pandemic-y than one would have thought when we were on the most optimistic parts of the downslope earlier this summer.
Yeah, I don't like... I just feel like there's this continual sense of false hope of like that keeps happening periodically at different points during the pandemic of like, oh, it's about to be over. Things are about to return to normal. And like, we're going back to the office. Venues are opening up. And it's this weird combination of a change of narrative with the reality as well of like, of even us right now of like, oh, this is the new normal. And like, we just need to be comfortable with it right now versus like things will go back to what they were. Mm-hmm.
Which I will also say, we should still do it, but we now have, 3 episodes over the course of almost 2 years to prove that we are really bad at predicting what we think is going to happen in the pandemic. So even that saying about like, oh, well, this is going to be the new normal. I mean, I do believe that. And I do that feels correct to me, which obviously it feels correct to us. That probably means that something's going to change dramatically for the better or for the worse. So,
I think, I don't know. I'm scared.
You're scared. Wait, dive into that more. Well, what do you
of just having this conversation right now, it just feels like something now is going to happen. Like there's going to be the Figma variant, or I guess whatever they're on Xenon or whatever, right?
Yep. That's how it works. We're just like inceptioning it into the consciousness of the virus and of the cruel god of this universe.
So it's we predict things in an ironic backwards way here is what happens. And then
God, that's true.
God is the only one listening to our podcast.
Hey, we're all about quality over quantity when it comes to our it's like that Velvet Underground thing of like, they only had 100 people listen to them, but every one of those 100 started a band. That's us, is that we only have 6 listeners, but one of them is our Lord and Savior.
Yes. Playing a cruel, cruel joke on us. So what would you say during the pandemic that has had its inception during the pandemic, would you want to like stick around? For example, I love in New York City, 2 separate things, 1 outdoor dining, and then also my street right now is closed down during the weekends, during the summer/fall time. And it's just going to be kind of a permanent thing that like 3/4 of the year, this street's going to be closed during the weekends.
Ooh, co-sign the outdoor dining, co-sign a version of the street thing in that in Chicago, we've been trying out some both street closures for like outdoor dining and stuff like that, but also street closures or street like slowing down where they'll put out like barriers and stuff like that that like make you have to serpentine through if you're driving to try and like slow the street down. And that I think is cool. I would like to continue to do that. The downside of though talking about like pandemic related street things is that like, oh shit, during the pandemic, traffic deaths went way, way, way up because everyone was speeding all the time because there was less traffic and people weren't riding transit as much. So bad. But the closures part, great. Keep doing that. Masks on airplanes. I'm definitely going to keep doing that. I think masks in general, I think having that be more of a, I mean, it's weird to say incepted for like us because it's clearly like Asia has been doing this right for multiple decades. But you know, whatever, we can be late to the curve.
I don't know how much I hope that catches on, but like, I don't know how I keep saying this, whatever fucking post pandemic means, that's going to stick around in America. I know for me specifically, like my parents, when my mom came and visited New York City, like several months ago, she was like surprised to see that people are wearing masks outside. And like for the most part, people have stopped wearing masks outside. But like public transit, absolutely, everyone is wearing a mask.
Totally, and I think that's actually maybe more of what I mean by it is that like what I hope sticks around is more like airplanes and public transit as more of a general purpose thing, and the if you have a cold, wear a mask. If you have the flu, wear a mask.
Yeah, I really hope that sticks around. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that like general purpose, hey, wearing a mask outside, even hey, wearing a mask in like grocery stores and stuff like that, I think that's probably going to fall by the wayside. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thing that I am very worried has been incepted is the politicization of not just the COVID vaccine, but all vaccines. I feel like it's pretty likely that we're going to have like big fights over the normal ass vaccines that everyone has to have to go to school. That's probably going to be a giant like fight in some states in whatever the next school board election time is, in a way that I think is going to be bad and will probably mean that there's more diseases that come back that shouldn't.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be terrifying.
Though mRNA vaccines, that's really cool. Seems like they're like, I think there's already research being done into like, can we use mRNA vaccines to have a cold vaccine or other stuff like that? Basically the COVID vaccines are the first successful and mass produced versions of mRNA vaccines. And so now it's like, great, we have an entirely new genre of vaccine that we can try and apply to stuff. And so I think that theoretically will be very interesting to see what that unleashes.
What I'm going to be curious about is when flu season, which I guess it is like right now.
I think so. Yeah.
So I didn't realize I can go get a flu shot, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Like I'm curious how much flu shots are going to be more adopted by people. Because yes, I do think there's, you know, this heavy anti-vax movement that's going on right now, but I also think that like there's a lot more people getting vaccinated for COVID than there has been in the past for flu shots. Maybe that's completely anecdotal and like I don't know if that's coming out of my ass or not,
Yeah.
But
I was,
like,
I was going to say almost, well, again, entirely anecdotal, and not only anecdotal, but just thinking of me, sample size of one. I was going to say the opposite in both the, oh, being so focused on the COVID side that I kind of forget about the flu. Sure. As a thing to think about, but also from a more practical perspective, I always got the flu vaccine from my office because it would just be like, oh, yep, here's the day that you can sign up for flu vaccines. And they'll come to this conference room on the third floor and you go do that. And so last year was the first year since graduating where I didn't get a flu shot. And I realized like, oh shit, that's because I'm just so attuned to the, oh yeah, I'm just going to get an email about it and I'll go show up. Whatever is the one, and sign up for a slot on whatever is the one day.
Yeah.
Which I'm realizing, no, you can't count on that when your office is your second bedroom.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm curious how for some reason, I just thought it would influence people more in the other way of like, oh, like this is a vaccine. We have to get the vaccine, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, probably both. Yeah. We'll take a bet. We'll see. Do flu rates, flu shot rates increase or decrease? In a post-COVID world. Well, post-COVID. I guess also, that's the other thing is that like theoretically everything that I've seen from the, epidemiologists predict what the thing is going to be like. Basically everyone's saying it's like, all right, well, pre-Delta, we probably could have gotten rid of COVID. Now that Delta's around, nope, sorry. There's just going to be COVID forever. It'll be more like a flu of like, all right, well, it's a thing that we deal with. I mean, it'll still be, I think the term for it that I was reading is that it'll be endemic in the sense of, all right, we'll monitor it and we'll keep it below a certain threshold that's acceptable. And that might mean vaccines, that might mean other public health stuff, but
sure.
Well, no chance at zero COVID, I guess.
Yeah. Something else I'm glad for, I guess this is more political in general of around like society coming together. I feel America, people who are doing it, feel more concerned about public welfare and public health and things of that nature. And like America is becoming less individualistic in some ways.
Interesting. That's incredibly wonderful and optimistic of you. And I don't feel that at all.
Okay.
yeah, I feel like it's, well, okay. Actually, better way of phrasing that. I guess individual versus collective is maybe not the axis that I actually, I can see a world where it is actually getting less individualistic, but just getting less individualistic in terms of more polarized and angry and screaming at each other, individual camps.
Sure.
But also, that's because I spend a lot of my time on twitter.com.
Hey, that's fun.
Which, bad website, or new wrinkle though to the it's a bad website, but yet somehow I can't pull myself away from it, is it's a bad website that I somehow can't pull myself away from it, but it, along with Instagram, is one of the main ways in which me and my now girlfriend kept in touch during the 5 years between breaking up and then running into each other at a friend's wedding. So,
oh, God.
I mean, now, I can't fully knock it. From a selfish perspective.
Listen, heroin's great. Okay. It's just all the side effects, you know?
Right. Right. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you like the play? Let's see. So we talked about jobs. Talked about relationships. Talked about the pandemic. Talked about the pandemic in the future. What other elements? Talked about theater. Talked about movies. One thing, though, is not mentioned in the sense of not much has changed, but like I think worthwhile checking in on it, of like my general purpose feelings about like, yeah, living alone and spending most of my time alone with a lot of like communication mediated through the internet and stuff like that. I don't know. Yeah, still fine. But my general comfort with it has continued through this last 6 month phase, which is at this point should not be surprising because we have multiple episodes of content to refer back to prove that that is the vibe. But again, if you had asked me 2 years ago, how would you handle a multi-year coronavirus pandemic? I would have asked you what a coronavirus is, but I would have been surprised by how well I would handle it. And then doubly surprised that, it's during that global coronavirus pandemic that you get back together with your ex. Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
Power to you, dude.
Yeah. That's – oh, pandemic. What have you done?
Oh, pandemic. That – you know what? That I will say, and the, this we have joked about, is really, really good timing in specifically when our friend decided to schedule her pandemic wedding, in that it was – Right during that sweet spot of, yeah, this is totally fine. We don't really need to think about the fact that we're traveling, or we need to think about the fact that an event is being thrown. Probably still would be fine now, because I know other friends are like, there's other weddings and stuff that are happening now, but like, perfect sweet spot of right in the happiest part of the pandemic summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything else that you can think of?
I don't think so.
Okay. Continuing our trend from previous episodes, in terms of Blackpink Watch, the only real updates are that Lisa came out with her solo.
Yeah.
Which is maybe the worst song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Really?
It's so fucking bad.
I enjoyed it.
Really? Wow. Wow. Like, wow. Okay.
Not horrible, but like I enjoyed it. Maybe I have a lot lower standard for pop than you do, though.
Potentially. I detested it. It made me so sad because she's so good. She is the one that is the most like, oh, this is like a genuine rock star out of in terms of charisma and stage presence and stuff like that out of this group. So she should be the one that gets the really good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
And instead she says, what is it? Diamonds on my wrist. Call me the Flintstones or something like that. Anyway.
I love that line. It's a great line. Anyway.
La Lisa.
Oh, that's something that I use TikTok a lot, and it's very diverse content there, and I love it. It gives me lots of tastes of different things that I want and need. But my reels on Instagram, which I barely use, but occasionally pops up and I just aimlessly scroll, solely consists of Blackpink videos of live concerts. Like, that is 95% of that content. And like, it's like, okay, this is all right, but like, I need some different stuff. Like, I need more. Like,
yeah,
algorithm is not doing a good job with that, you know.
Yes, I agree. Although I will say, on the TikTok front, I have started getting into TikTok much more in the last like 2-3 months, and it has very like aggressively triangulated into mostly just cats or K-pop more twice than Blackpink, which is interesting and I would not have guessed necessarily, but you know, the algorithmically driven heart wants what it wants, I guess.
Yeah.
Actually, that is the narrative of 2021, is getting big into Twice. They're so fucking good.
Yeah.
So good. And they have a new album apparently coming out in November. Which will be fun.
That's exciting.
But I think that is a pretty good, nice chill wrap up of the last 6 months of the lives of Andrew Whipple and Alex Wade. I mean, we're still in a version of pandemic, so yeah. Another one in 6 months, yeah?
I mean, yeah. Like, certainly right now, yes. We're committed. Yeah. Well, I feel like the last one we'll have will be, like, we'll say, okay. It's like right now there's unquestionably going to be a sixth one, or a fourth one?
Fifth one.
Fifth one. There's unquestionably going to be a fifth one. Whether or not there's going to be a sixth one is going to be determined in the fifth one.
Yes. No? Oh, totally. Yeah. And I think, I mean, my original thought was, because I assumed the two of them would go hand in hand, was that like, oh, well, the end of the pandemic is basically going to be when we're vaccinated and enough people are vaccinated. So like, we'll probably do one more after we're vaccinated and then that will be it.
Yeah, however, that's what I thought too.
Delta showing up being like, guess what, bitch? Thrice all last to me and wrecking all that. But I think I'm kind of feeling like I want to do one more than we should. Like, I want the last one to be one where we're firmly like, okay,
yes.
Coronavirus, yeah. Who? Which, yeah. We're certainly not there yet. Okay, good. So you'll see us in 6 months, listeners, for another round of these.
Let's do a prediction.
Ooh.
How many more episodes do you think we have?
At least two, but let's get an actual number.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say we're gonna do three more of these.
I'm gonna say we're gonna do two more.
Okay. I think both are reasonable. I think both are reasonable. And then watch us like in 2027 doing our like, oh, well, here we are still coding it up.
ADUP Club is now solely a pandemic based podcast.
Exactly. It comes for all of us in the end. If you want to tell us your thoughts on how you're doing in the pandemic, how we're doing in the pandemic, the ways that which we're doing things wrong. We didn't really talk this time about like safety measures and pandemic anxiety, probably because we just don't have as much of those now. So if you want to yell at us for that, then you can do that by email at theawclub@gmail.com. That's theawclub@gmail.com. You can also do that on Twitter, bad website, yet I cannot leave it. And it also was a lifeline that kept me in communication with my now girlfriend over 5 years of us being broken up. And you can find that at theawclub. That's at theawclub. You can, of course, then find us wherever podcasts are found, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. And you can also find our website at theadub.club. That's theadub.club. There you can find our topics guide, which is a list of all of the different episode topics that we've talked about, where you can click on those and it'll take you to the episode in question. There's a lovely little section for pandemic check-in where you can find this along with the three previous and the between two and three future ones once we get to it. And you can also find our starter guide, which is a collection of episodes that we think are pretty dang good if you want to get a sense of what the rest of the podcast is like when we're not just being emo about how we're dealing with a pandemic. And I believe that is everything.
ADUP Club out.
ADUP Club out. Good team.
I'm going to take a guess. Maybe this, but let's, wow, that was a whole fucking word. Whoa.